book of Acts. The book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And we're going to preach from the title, The Love I Lost. The Love I Lost. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things say he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God, for the love that we still have for you. And we thank you, Father God, for those here that love hasn't failed. And Father God, we also thank you, Father God, for giving us a little space, another opportunity to repent and get right with you. Amen. Because no man nor woman knows the day or the hour. Father God, we know this day that we want to hear from you, and we want to recover that love that may be lost. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you listening to me would recall the title of the sermon, The Love I Lost, and you would instantly, like I did, think of a song the OJs came out with back in probably the 80s or 90s, and it was called The Love I Lost, and it talked about it was a sweet love, and it made reference to the fact that this person had built his whole world around you. It's talking about a woman. This person was talking about a woman that he was fell in love with, okay? And the song goes on. I just wrote a few things about it. It says, I can remember hoping we made it through. Then it says something went wrong. We just couldn't get along. How many know it's hard to get along with the Holy Spirit? It can be hard getting along with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to do right. And the Holy Spirit might be asking you to say, I'm sorry, or ask somebody for forgiveness, or being nice to somebody. It's not easy getting along with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not. These folks lost their love. The church at Ephesus was a great church. Paul said, Jesus said wonderful things about this church. Wonderful things about this church. And a wonderful church with all the gifts in operation, with all the blessings of God, could lose its way. Can lose its way. Paul, excuse me, I keep saying Paul. I'm so used to talking about Paul from Wednesday night. Let me read the scripture again. Start with verse number 1 of Revelation 2. And I'm going to get to verses 5. Chapter 5. That's where the lesson is going to come. He says, unto the church of Ephesus write. Unto the church of Ephesus write. These things say he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candles. What Jesus is saying here, I know the thoughts of the church. I'm at the meetings, I'm at the worship, I'm at the rehearsals, I'm at the Sunday school and Bible study. I know what's going on. I'm with you guys in the United Church. I know what's going on.
Amen.
Okay? I know what's going on. He said, I know thy works. He said, I know thy labor. And that's a good thing.
Amen.
These are good things. This is a church that had good works. And this was a church that labored. This is a church that had patience. Patience meaning waiting on God while you're going through. Waiting on God in your adversity. And some of us right now is dealing in patience. Some of us right now is right in patience because things are happening when we don't have control over when we wait on God. And only God can deal with some of the stuff that we're dealing with right now.
Amen.
Okay? So that I know that works and that labor and that patience. And how thou canst bear them which are evil. How about that? This is a good church. Didn't like evil. Didn't like evil. And Satan should like evil. We are looking at some of the stuff that we see in the world, some of the stuff that's going on. It ought to make us cringe. We ought to see the evil that's going on. School shootings and folks just wicked.
Amen.
Word of God said in the last day there'll be lawlessness throughout the land. Some of the things that we watch and see and hear just confuse us and challenge us. He says, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. That word tried goes well with what we learned in Sunday school today. Discernment. This church had discernment. It tried things. Folks came in and they would say some different things or preach or whatever. And again, this church tested them.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
You do that when you go buy a car, you go buy a washing machine, you test it, you try it, you read some reviews on it. You maybe know someone who has one like it. What do you think about it?
Amen.
Would you buy it again? I see that all the time. You buy something on Amazon, they'll ask you a question. Would you refer this to someone else? Yes or no? Based on your experience with it. So they tested things. Same folks ought to want to be tested.
Amen.
David, King David, in that great psalm said, try me, O Lord, test me. He wanted to be right with God. There's nothing worse than standing before God not tested, not tried. I remember the days working at GM and worked on the final process. You still were rubber burning because they were trying the car, revving them up, making sure that everything was working before they put them out on the lot. Some of them still got through after all the testings. The folks testing the cars wasn't right. Okay, so but he says, thou hast tried them with saying they are apostles. Now we can break that down. He tried to say they are preachers, say they are ministers, say they are deacons. You gotta try them, test them.
Amen.
Okay, and are not, and has found them liars. Now this is what the church was doing, and the Lord was commending them. But he says this, verse number 3. This is an interesting verse. This church had come under attack. Let me tell you something. If you try, folks, and you got labor and patience, and you can't bear evil, you better believe one thing for certain. You're going to come under attack. You will come under attack. And it can be an inside job. It can be an outside job. But a church that's trying to do right by the Lord will, let me say this, must come under attack. Okay? The Word of God says, desire to God in Christ, shall suffer. Many are reflections of the righteous soul. Listen, thou hast born, verse 3, and has born, that word born means, has come under attack. And not only have come under attack, but have withstood it. Okay? How many of you know? You heard me say it before. There will be casualties. Okay? We're not on a cruise ship. You're on a warship. You come to the Lord. It's a battle. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, and Paul, when
happy-go-lucky.
And you come to church, and it's a fun place to be. Not this church. And it has borne. It has patience. And for my name's sake, has labored. Has labored. Has worked. Has worked. It's hard to continue preaching Jesus Christ. Especially when folks don't want to hear it. Especially if folks don't want to hear Jesus Christ. That's old, Pastor. That's old. And, you know, preach me some smooth things. You keep preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul got his head cut off. Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. And then he went on to say, I'm determined to preach nothing else. And this church was like that. But then verse 4 is kind of trouble. But this is a great church. And out of the seven churches, only two, were considered faithful to God in all things. That was the church of Smyrna, which means crushed, and the church of Philadelphia. But here's this church. Nevertheless, you've done a lot of good things. He says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Hebrews 2:1 talks about this church in the Hebrew, the Jewish church says, let a man take a more earnest heed. They hold on tight, strap up. Let a man take a more earnest heed, lest you slip away. God's not moving, okay?
Amen.
We're moving. We don't like something, we move on. If something in the Word of God is not comfortable for us, it's not comfortable. We move on. Something we don't like, we move on. We'll tear that page out. We won't preach that. That's all that comes under the umbrella of leaving our first love. Mm-hmm. How do we recover that first love? Remember when we got saved, all of us. You should, if you're saved. You ought to remember when God saved you.
Amen.
Remember when you were saved, when you were born again, and the excitement that came with it, the relief that came with knowing that your sins had been forgiven. The weight of sin had left you. You became a new creature. Old things had passed away, and you would look at somebody and say, behold, I'm something new.
Amen.
I'm not the same person anymore. And there was excitement. There was excitement when you talk about the things of God. There was excitement when you sang. There was excitement when you taught and preached. There's excitement. Then something happens. Then things happen. Your faith comes under attack. And you're walking in this dirty, filthy world like Peter. And Jesus washes everybody's feet because they were walking in this dirty, filthy world. And Peter came and said, you never wash my feet. And then Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have no part of me. We know what Peter said. He said, filthy, I'm filthy all over. Wash me. Clean me all the way up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? We know Isaiah, that great prophet of God, and he seen God, and he says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among an unclean people. And that's how we are. And if we don't recognize that, we're walking in these places of employment and the places we go and frequent, and we're around folks that aren't saved. And we're constantly around folks that aren't saved. And if we don't ready ourselves and strengthen ourselves and stay in God's word and prayer and fasting, we'll be weakened.
Amen.
We'll be weakened and weakened, and we will lose that energy and that love that we once had. And I know I struggle with it. Sometimes I'm prepared. I'm like, am I prepared like I used to? Am I prepared like when I first got called to preach? Am I in the Word? Am I studying? Am I doing the things that I used to do? Have I left my first love? Have I left my first love? Is the Word of God exciting to me? Is the Word of God energizing me? Am I just going through the motion? Oh, it's Sunday. Let me throw something together.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's Sunday. I don't know if I'm going to church or outside, and I didn't get my hair done, and my stockings got a run in them, and I was up all night watching the Ohio State lose. Jesus, because of his grace and because of his mercy and his love, he tells his church how to get back right with God. This is why we call him a merciful God. This is why we call him a gracious God. He says to this church, I got somewhat against you. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because I left first love. Now for us, I'm done with them. I don't love them no more, man. Irreconcilable differences. I'm getting a divorce. I'm out of here as fast as I can go. But God's a God of grace. And he's a God of mercy. And in verse 5, he gives them an answer. You want to get right with God? He gives them three things they must do. Three things. Then they only get a rich young ruler. Remember, rich young ruler ran to the Lord, run. And he fell and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Jesus was so gracious to him. He said, this one thing you do. He told him, one thing you need to do to get right with me and to get to heaven. He said, go sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. That's what he did. One thing. That was big. That was too big for him. Now, I hope this isn't too big for any of us. But he says this in verse number 5, three things. See if you can pick them all that I read them. He says in verse 5, remember, therefore, when thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else. You know what I mean? Parents used to say with that or else. But that's never good with somebody saying or else. Okay? You get a bill in the mail that you negligent on. And it comes around and says, pay this now or else. Okay? And you got these new cars. See, you get these new cars. They don't have to send the repo man out. They just shut them off with the North Star system. Uh-huh. And, and I see people in the parking lot, my car won't start. Brand new car won't start. Or else. Let's remember. Remember what, Pastor? Now, to remember, to me, means not to forget something. Okay? Now, my anniversary coming up. Has city been buried? Oh! I get all confused, but I like to add a couple more on. Because I'm there forever optimist. So we were buried in 1983. So that would make this year, what, 35? This year? I'll tell you why we've been married 37. I just throw a couple on. Cindy always catch me. When we was married 25, I was saying 30. Now, we've been married 37 years this year. But I can't forget it. That wouldn't be good. And over the years, I haven't forgotten. I always get her something for her anniversary, something to remind her that we've been married for these many years. But see, the Lord, in Deuteronomy, I'm going to give you this Deuteronomy 6. He had blessed the Israelites. He had blessed the Israelites. He had got them out of Egypt. He had opened the Red Sea for them. He had blessed them with the land full of milk and honey. Blessed them. And he said this to them. And I say this to all of us, but all of us in here have been blessed. I don't care how you might sit here and you don't know I'm broke as a joke. No, ain't nobody here broke as you could be. Okay?
Amen.
Some all of us in here doing okay. I know Sylvia want to do great. Okay? Amen. She want a financial blessing, but God has all of us are doing okay.
Amen.
We be real rich if we went to Mexico.
Amen.
And we be living in mansions. Now, here's what he said to those people. In verse 12 of Deuteronomy 26, he says this. After you've eaten and be full, that's verse 11. It says this, then beware. Okay? Think about this. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. So we pray for some stuff. I remember when Jackie and Jake was trying to have a baby.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and we prayed in church, praying. They had a baby. Then they had another one. Relate to him. And that's something we ought not forget. God the Gentiles. And that's who we were.
Amen.
And that's who we are. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For who? For the Jew first. And then us. And then the Gentiles. We can't ever forget that God was preached to us. To us. Believed on in the world. And then when his work was done, he dropped his head. He said, it's finished. It's finished. And he was received up into glory. Can't forget that.
Amen.
Can't forget that. Let me tell you what else you can't forget. You can't forget all his benefits. Can't forget all his benefits. See, sometimes we forget all his benefits when we enter Christ. We forget all his benefits. His benefits are there in a crisis. Sometimes you want to get a job. You get a job, you want a good insurance. Why do you want a good insurance? So when you're in a crisis, when you're in a hardship, the benefits kick in. Folks, I need some better insurance. I hear some of y'all, insurance ain't good. You know, you get sick, you got to pay so much upfront and all this. Don't forget the God's benefits. Look at Psalm 103. Y'all know where I was going. He says, bless the Lord. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, all my soul. This is David. David understood God's benefits. He said, bless the Lord, all my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. There's no other name holy.
Amen.
His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Watch this now. And forget not or remember all his benefits. And here's the number one. Here's the number one on the chart. Here's the number one reason why we ought not forget his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities.
Thank you,
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Who forgiveth, who forgiveth all thy iniquities.
Amen.
Okay. Our sins were nailed to the cross. Once we accepted him as Lord and Savior, who healed all thy diseases. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about diseases here. Tuberculosis and cancer and all that kind of stuff. The disease of sin. The disease of sin. The disease of sin you taking and keeping on you and dying and going to hell with. Thank you. Thank you. Back it up. Verse number 4. Here's another benefit. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. How many know you was headed for destruction? Oh, I know I was. Well, I was headed for destruction and didn't care. Didn't care. On cruise control. Headed for destruction. And he redeemed me. Redeem, redeem, redeem. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. And this is what the psalmist was saying. And David was saying this before Jesus Christ, even 700 years before he went to the cross. He redeemed my life from destruction. Listen. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How about that? How about that? Let me give you something. Clear. You want to know if you got the right stuff? You need to have some loving kindness and tender mercies. That sort of like confirms who you are in Christ. You know, a Christian without loving kindness and tender mercies, they're like a Christian that don't pray. A Christian don't read the Bible, or a Christian that don't testify of God's goodness. Those all just don't go together. If you've been redeemed, then you got loving kindness and tender mercies just built up in you.
Amen.
Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed out like an eagle. Like an eagle. Let's keep going. He said not to forget or to remember these things. Let me say this. Got so much stuff here. These verses just jump out at me. I talk about young people. A lot of young people. Young people don't like church no more. Young people don't. You know, you can't give them the word. They won't be line dancing, mind, and they'll crowd into that. But our young people are dying too young. They're dying too young. And the word of God says this to the young man or to the young woman. He's talking to Lord this morning about But you getting ready to go into that age, that 14, 15, 16 years old. My God, I pray for you constantly. Get ready to deal with something. Something different than all of us here that came up in years past. He says, my son, my daughter, forget not my law. Forget not my law. Forget not the word of God. Take it with you everywhere you go. Forget it. You know what? How many of y'all know? And I know I'm testing some people today. I know me. I get down the block. I get down the block. And I ain't got my phone. Okay? I'm going to get my phone. Because it's just part of me. Okay, I get it. You know, this text isn't saying forget to have my phone. But that's not something that's all me. Ain't going nowhere without a phone. Some of you right now can't wait to turn it on. Now I'm just trying to make a little illustration. If that phone is that important to you, how much more important you should be your relationship with God?
Amen.
Forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. How about that? How about that? Your heart will keep God's commandments. Because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and the commandments ought to come out of your hearts.
Amen.
Why is that so important? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know what the world messed up? If we don't sit here and talk about a peace treaty and this peace treaty and that. The world messed up because the world don't have the laws of God written on their hearts.
Amen.
Look at verse number 3. I'm going to move on from this. Let not mercy. Let not mercy. What is mercy? What is mercy? God giving us what we don't deserve. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tablet of thy heart. See? Tablet. Why do they call them tablets? Satan is a... Oh, he's a liar. Hey, I gotta have a tablet. I gotta do my messenger, my Facebook. I got... Let me tell you something, folks. You got a tablet in your heart. And you need to be texting some folks. The truth of God.
Amen.
And that tablet in that heart. And that tablet. Don't forget that. Don't forget God's law. Let me keep going. Oh, goodness. Let's talk about praising God. Let's talk about worshiping God. People say, what's the importance of that? God requires our praise. He requires that we worship him. God created us for what reason? To worship him. To worship him and to praise him. Hebrews 13 and 15 says this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not just while you in here. See, you were singing when you're outside of here. See, we leave here, we stop singing. We ought to be singing to God continually. Why? Because he's been so good to us. And we got prayers going up. Ain't nothing like a prayer going up, bathed in praise. Oh, some of our prayers don't get answered because we don't bathe them in praise. Praising the Lord continually. In the good and the bad. Listen. Praise him continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. To his name. How do you give God thanks? Just for being God. Just because he's God, I'm going to give you thanks. Just because you're God. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. How about that? That's the way we communicate. We communicate through song, prayer. Now we got, now we text and we talk. There's all sorts of ways to communicate. But we ought to be communicating God's goodness to some of these folks. Here's one. Let's not forget to be humble. Oh, let's not forget to be humble. You say some of us can get beside ourselves. When we can say it, we look down at everybody. When we can get saved, we can understand what we crawled out of. Okay? Let's not forget. 10 and 12, Jehovah will not forget. He calls it the crushed. I like that. The crushed or the humble. Sounds good. Let me look at this. Ephesians 2. Stay with me. I should have had it. I think I have it. Ephesians 2. One of my favorite verses. I want to read 1-5. Don't even have to comment on it because it's about this. It's where we all come from. The only requirement of being saved is you have your son. See, if you want to sin, you don't need to be saved. Jesus in heaven died for you. If you didn't see Jesus in heaven died for you, you were a sinner.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The only qualification for being saved is that you were a sinner.
Amen.
Some folks can't get saved because y'all really couldn't get saved because he couldn't see his sin. See, Bible said all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He says this in Ephesians 2 and 1. He says, and you, I like that. And you, ain't important than everybody. Feel like me when I was at that church when God saved me and the preacher pointed out, and you, okay? I'm like, whoa, dude. I'm just here for entertainment. I didn't know that day was going to be a life-changing day. Didn't know Cindy and her family were fasting that I'd come to my crazy senses because I was lost and in trouble and my wife was 100 pounds. And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, here we go, we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here we go. Me and Aaron always talk about but God. But God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us. That's the pit we came out of. That's the qualification for us being saved. Repent. Repent. Remember, repent. Repent from what? Repent from thinking your own thoughts. Repent from doing what you want to do. See, when you come to the Lord, once you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and the Spirit of God's working in you, you got to do everything you want to do. Okay? You just can't go where you want to go anymore because the Spirit of God is in control. And if you still doing everything you want to do, it's a short sign that you're not who you think you are. Okay? Now, put a scripture on it, Pastor. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Now, watch this now. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. What's that mean? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And if any way you want to go, you want to acknowledge God. God, is this the way I should go? God, is this the way I should go? God, should I say this? Should I go there? Should I watch this? Should I do that? Should I give here? In all our ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him as what? As King of Kings. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Acknowledge him. And he shall. It's not he might. He shall. He shall direct thy path. I don't always tell somebody who not acknowledges God, but they always on the wrong path. Okay? See, Christians are called people of the way. See? Jesus said, I am the way. Okay? So we are acknowledging God. He shall direct our path. I think the song says he is a light unto our path. Repent from it. Doing what you want to do. Listen, folks. Repentance flows through the Bible. Repentance flows through the Bible. It's just, when we think about the love of God, we think about Christ, we think about what he came for, repentance just flows through the Bible. might be one of the themes of the Bible. It says in Luke 24 and 47, here's Jesus giving final instructions to his disciples. Listen to what he says. He says, in that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, when? Beginning at Jerusalem. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all hit the Jerusalem thing. It's in the news. Jerusalem is the capital. Now, Jesus is saying here, beginning at the scene of the worst crime that's ever been committed, repentance can be preached there. And remission of sins. And until the Jews understand what they've done, they can wait all they need. Okay? Repentance must be preached. And we don't like to preach repentance. Why? Because repentance means what? Turn. Repentance means to turn. I say turn or burn. Okay? Listen. In the times of his ignorance, God winked at him. Okay? God winked at him. Watch this down. But now commanded all men everywhere to repent. To repent.
Yes.
To turn. To live for God. Okay? This is what he's saying to this church. He's saying to this church that you need to repent. You need to repent. And this church is doing a lot of good things, but they needed to repent. From what? I don't know. God knows. Maybe when they will find out. Paul tells Timothy what to teach. He said, Timothy, you're going to preach. You're going to teach in the church. Teach this. See, this is in our, now when I say this, this is what you ought to expect to hear. We were talking about this morning. Discernment comes from hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Handling the word of God. Handling the word of truth. Because one day, who knows? You ain't going for another church. You will know what to look for. You know what to listen for. Or you may just be listening to a preacher on the radio and you're going to hear something. But listen. Here's what Paul told Timothy. He told Titus in Titus 2:11. Watch this now. This is fantastic. He says, for the grace of God, the great salvation have appeared to all men. Okay? The bringing salvation means repentance. So you can't have a salvation without repentance.
Amen.
See, there's no salvation without repentance. You can't. You just can't say, I'm saved and never turn from them. Okay? Salvation does appear to all men. Watch this now. That's where it gets in verse 12. Teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's what repentance do. It takes us from living foul into living soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It's possible. How is it possible? With the power of God.
Amen.
And then he says this, and this is what keeps us. This is what keeps us strong and keeps us strong and united and looking for that blessed hope. What's our blessed hope? To go to heaven. To be with Jesus.
Amen.
To die and go to heaven. That's our blessed hope. He said, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what keeps us motivated. That's what keeps us on the right path. That we're here now, here, we're going through, we're struggling, we're being under attack, we're being called out, we've been lied on, but we're looking for that blessed hope.
Yeah.
And that glorious appearing of that great God and our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. That's the hope. And when you go home, and Claire, you go home, and you sit there and you're talking to Dave, or Teddy, you're talking to Penny, or we got loved ones who are sick that know the Lord, make sure they understand that keep your eyes on that blessed hope. Blessed hope. All of us. That blessed hope. What did that blessed hope? Look at verse 14. Please don't miss this. Who gave himself? Who gave himself for us. Paul says us, not you. He says who gave himself for us. Jesus Christ gave himself for us. He was no sinner. He wasn't a first born again sinner. See, I'm sitting here, if you're sitting here watching TV and grandma daughter comes to come on and say Jesus Christ was the first born again sinner, you ought to throw your shoes on the TV. You ought to throw your shoes on the TV. He was not a born again sinner.
Amen.
He died for us.
Right.
Our sins were put on him. He was sinless. John said he was a sinless Lamb of God. He didn't need to be saved. He didn't need to be born again. Who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us to himself. Mm-hmm. A peculiar people. A peculiar people. Don't get mad when somebody calls you peculiar. So don't get mad if I call you weird or strange because you don't do this. You're not smoking, you're not drinking, you're not cussing, you're not chasing boys, you are peculiar. And God is known for peculiar people. All of us ought to be peculiar. You ought to be weird. We ought to be strange to the world.
Amen.
Because we are God's peculiar people. Probably the church, we don't sound like the world.
Yeah.
We don't sound like the world. We just do whatever the world is doing, we do it. And we bring it into the church. The church ought to be able to get a place for peculiar people.
Uh-huh.
People zealous of good works. How about that? Zealous of good works. Listen how he finishes. Listen how he finishes this verse. He says this. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Nobody's telling Titus. People are trying to shut you down. People don't want to hear it. Same people don't want to hear it. I'm going to shut you down. He said, preach. Preach with desperation. Preach like a dying man to dying people. You come up in here playing with people. This is serious.
Amen.
This is serious. Let's do the first words. He said, repent, remember, repent, and do the first words. Now listen, folks. Y'all know the first word for it. Love. How do we activate our love? How do we get our love back to where it was for Christ? We gotta go back to the basics. Go back to doing God's first words. And what was God's first words? John 3:16. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, when you go through the Word of God, you'll see love is all the theme through it. 1 John 3:16. It's 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, because it was constant with John. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our life for the brother. And that's what they were doing. Maybe they're so busy doing all this stuff, they love one another. You know that happens in the church? You know, bickering in the church? Bickering about this, bickering about that. I don't know this, I don't want to do that. Why she doing this, why she doing that? We need to have this, we need to have that. Get new carpet and we got 5 different colors. Folks fight, but I want red, I want blue, I want green, I want yellow. We ought to love one another. Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John 4:9. Listen. And this was manifested the love of God. Let me talk about doing the first part. And this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. And sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Loved. God is loved. God is loved. Listen. Proverbs 12:10. Watch this now. I'm almost done. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirred up strife. But love covered all sins. Love gives you the ability to cover sins and to deal lightly with folks that sin. Doesn't doesn't say confession isn't required. But the word of God says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So if someone comes to us and confesses their sins, we ought to be like God. We ought to be faithful and just to forgive them. See, some folks pour oil on the flame. God is love. Now, how's your love? Is it like God's? Think about this. Look at Psalm 107. Right, one there. They're working for me. God's love never fails. God's love never fails. Okay? His love is full of compassion. And the word of God says his what? His compassions fail not. Okay? The word of God says, Lamentations 3:22, is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Anybody ever thought like that? It's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Every day, we got bigger folks in here going through some stuff. Teddy could have been consumed. What she's had to go through could have consumed her. It could have consumed her. And some of us can sit back and look at her and say, well, I'm glad it wasn't me, because I don't know how I would handle that. And it ain't me too. Well, you know what you got? Oh, Mary, we need to shut you down, take all the blood out of your body, put some new blood in. It's going to be a long recovery period. Some of us be sitting here like, we'll faint at the news. One win. Come on now. Y'all sitting there trying to be strong like that. Y'all ain't strong like Teddy.
Amen.
We would have fainted. I don't know how I would have handled that. Like, listen, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. But they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a scripture for you. When you're going through and you need some of God's compassion. I just need some compassion from you, God. Well, there it is. Lamentations 3:22. His love never fails. His love never fails. God's love never fails. Well, you remember? Do that first works. Think about that. Think about that. Remember where God brought you from. Remember who you were, where God saved you. Then remember the first words. Now, excuse me. Repentance. And then do the first words. We want to energize our faith. We got to remember what God brought us from. We got to repent. And we got to do the first words. Or, as he says, I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou. Well, I don't know. I hope you understand what repentance means.